Again, I say good morning to you as we come together and share in the study of God's Word with one another. It was a joy and an honor to be able to be here today to witness what just took place. And I commend the elders and the congregation, the families who encouraged these young people to give in this manner. I think that is marvelous because not only are you helping the church in Hawaii, but you're also helping these young people to see the importance of mission work and their involvement at a very early age. So we're so thankful for that and commend all of these young people for what they have done and hopefully will continue to do in the future. This morning we're going to be focusing for the next few minutes on the importance of sharing the good news. The Bible tells us that we are to go and that we are to teach all nations. According to one source I looked at today, we have 196 nations around the world. The gospel must go to every nation. According to the source that I looked at, there are roughly 7.4 billion people in the world today. The Bible tells us that we are to go to every individual and teach them about Jesus Christ. It's not something that we can say, well, let somebody else do, but it's something that we as individuals must be willing to do. Now, there's many different ways that we can go, and we'll be talking about some of those things today. You don't have to go to a foreign field. You don't have to go to another state. You don't have to go to another town. But we can be involved in evangelism wherever we are with the people who are in our lives, encouraging people to be obedient to the Word of God, encouraging people to be strong, encouraging people to listen to what God's Word says and not what man says. The Bible tells us, and I'm just going to focus on the letters or the words that are in red, what you have heard, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You see, this is God's plan for evangelizing the world, that we teach people to obey the gospel, and then we teach them to teach others, and we continue to multiply in that way. It's not just the preacher's responsibility. It's not just the missionary's responsibility. It's all of our responsibilities to reach out to the lost, to encourage people to be obedient to the Word of God. Mission Emphasis Day. I think it's wonderful that you're having that today and encouraging people to become more aware of the mission work that this congregation is involved in and that others are involved in different parts of the world. In the Great Commission passage that was read a few moments ago, again, just emphasizing the words in red, Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. You see, that's our responsibility. Our responsibility is to go and to teach. That doesn't give us a guarantee that we're going to have lots of baptisms. That doesn't guarantee that people are going to listen to what we have to say. Sometimes persecution comes because we preach and teach the Word of God. But the point that Jesus is showing us here is that we have a responsibility to go and encourage others to go, to be a part of spreading the gospel in the kingdom of God. Go proclaim the gospel. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. You see, what we can see in this is that we have a responsibility to go. Once we have gone, once we have taught, then it is up to them to make that choice, to make their life right with God, or to choose not to make their life right with God. And I have gone and I've talked to people before and they say, yes, I want to become a Christian and I want to go to heaven, but I just don't want to do it right now. They're making a choice not to do what God has told them to do. But once we have done our part, God doesn't require anything else of us other than going and teaching the Word of God. Their response is to obey, to pay attention to what God's Word is saying. What is the good news? Well, the Bible tells us, you know, sometimes we think about the good news and we think about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We focus around that. But the Bible talks about the gospel of other things as well. The word gospel simply means good news. Well, we as Christians, we as members of the body of Christ, we have some good news to share with people around about us. The book of Matthew chapter 4 and verse 7 talks about the gospel of the grace of God. That's good news. God's grace is shed upon all mankind. All people around the world, doesn't matter what they have done or haven't done in their life, God's grace is available to them. And that's good news. It's not reserved for just one group of people. It's not just reserved for one nation. But God's grace is available to all who will come to the knowledge of His Word, who will listen to what His Word says. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts about the gospel of the kingdom, the Lord's church. There is a place of refuge. There is a place of security. There is a place of hope. And that's in the kingdom of God. Well, we've got that good news. We can go and tell people about the kingdom of God. A place where they can go to where they can be secure and safe and be sure of their salvation. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans about the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. You see, the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ, that's the way God saves people. That's the good news that we have to share with people. And again, it's not reserved for any one group of people or one nation or one tongue. But it's reserved for people around the world who can and will obey the gospel. In 2004, there was a man in Iraq who decided to obey the gospel. He had been studying the Bible, the World Bible School. He and his wife decided to obey the gospel. They became Christians. And he began preaching and teaching the Word of God, saying, you need to come into the kingdom. You need to listen to what God's Word is saying. And during his ministry, some 1,200 people came into the body of Christ. While he was a gospel preacher, he was arrested on 3 different occasions. He was beaten almost to death on each occasion. Had one of his eyes gouged out so that he would not be able to read the Bible as well. And then 4 men showed up at his home after his last imprisonment. He was released. He went into Turkey where his family was in hiding. Went back to them and was preparing to go back and continue to preach and teach the gospel. And 4 men showed up, took him to his front yard, and they beat him to death for being a gospel preacher. Many churches planted. Over 1,200 souls obeyed the gospel in countries where it is against the law to preach the gospel. This man was only a Christian for 9 months. 9 months he was able to do that. Why? Because he said, we've got some good news to tell people about the kingdom of God where they can come in and they can be sure of their salvation. The Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 about the gospel of our salvation. What a wonderful thing it is to be able to tell people you can be saved. You can be sure of your salvation by putting your trust in Jesus, by being obedient to the Word of God. You know, the good thing about being a Christian is that God is not looking for perfect people. Because if He were to come here today, He would not find one of us who is perfect. We all fall short of the glory of God. But what He is looking for are people who are faithful. People who have put their trust in Him. If you were to go to my wife, Carol, today, and you were to ask her, Carol, do you have a perfect husband? What do you think her answer would be? It would be no. She doesn't have the perfect husband. But if you ask her, do you have a faithful husband? She'd say yes. You see, that's what God is looking for. He's not looking for perfect people, but He is looking for faithful people. People who will put their trust in His Son, who will be obedient to His will, and walk in the light of His Word. The Bible tells us of the gospel of peace. You see, we can be at peace in our own lives. We can be at peace in our own minds. It's the good news that we have. When we go to Haiti and other parts of the world, there are people who are depressed, weary, tired. People with no hope. Someone asked me not long ago, have you ever looked in the face of someone who had absolutely no hope in their life? And I can truly say that I have. But you see, if they come to understand the truth of God's Word, if they come to understand the good news that is there about their salvation, then they can have hope, because they will know that there is so much more waiting for them other than what this life and this world has to offer. And so we need to rejoice in that and encourage people to be obedient to the Word of God. We know this intellectually. We understand this. So why do we not do it? Why do we not share the gospel the way that we should? Maybe it's because of fear. Afraid of what people might say, afraid of what people might think, afraid of what people might do. Sometimes it's because of a lack of knowledge, because we simply haven't studied the Bible the way that we need to study. Or maybe it's because we don't understand and know what needs to be done. And so we don't do it. Sometimes it's apathy. We just don't care about what happens to other people. We get involved in our own individual lives instead of the lives of other people. Sometimes it's just laziness. Sometimes we just are lazy about doing what God wants us to do. We cannot be lazy and be a child of God. We need to be reaching out to those around about us. Sometimes life gets in the way. Our jobs, our health, our age, whatever the case might be. And we allow those things to step between us and doing what God wants us to do. Sometimes it's because of sickness. Sometimes it's because we feel like that we just physically can't do it anymore. I remember we had a lady over in Lexington, Sister Mary Butler, and when someone dies and it's connected to the congregation, we provide meals for them. Well, it was her job to make sure that those meals are provided. She was in her 90s. I believe she was 93 at the time, and she was doing her job. She was at the funeral home, and she accidentally fell down some steps and broke her leg. She was out of commission for quite some time. So after she got out of the hospital and rehab, she was back home, going to have to be there for a little while. I thought, well, you know, we need to pass that job on over to somebody else. So I went and I sat down with Miss Mary, and I told her, I said, Miss Mary, why don't we let somebody else take this job so that you don't have to worry about it anymore? And she looked at me and she said, young man, I was younger then. She said, young man, she said, you see this finger right here? And I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I don't have to cook all the food with this finger. I don't have to deliver all the food with this finger. She said, all I have to do is use this finger and call people and tell them what to do. She said, as long as I can use this finger, you leave my job alone. I said, yes, ma'am. And she continued to do it. Well, you see, that's the attitude that we need to have, is that if I've got one finger left, if that's all I can use for the Lord, I'm going to use that one finger. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. Sometimes we blame it on the lack of finances. I've never seen a job or a mission work fail because of the lack of finances. You see, the Lord owns all that we have. The Lord is able to give us the money if we're willing to do the work and to make the plans and to strive and to do. What these are excuses for not doing. We like to blame it on somebody else. Well, we don't make excuses for not being baptized. We tell people, you need to be baptized. We don't make excuses for them and say you don't need to. We don't make excuses for not adding milk to the Lord's Supper. We partook of the Lord's Supper a few moments ago. Why do we use the emblems that we do? Because that's what the Bible teaches us. We don't make excuses for not adding instruments to our worship, because the Bible tells us what God expects. We simply do what God wants us to do. And that's the way it needs to be in evangelism. We need to do what God has told us to do, not make excuses for not doing it, but do it according to His will. But what's going to be our motivation? It's love. You see, if we don't love the lost world the way that we need to, if we don't love the Word of God the way that we need to, if we don't love the Lord Himself the way that we are supposed to love Him, then we're not going to do what God wants us to do. But you notice in all three of these verses that love is the central theme that is there. And we need to allow love, our love for God, our love for the Lord Jesus Christ, our love for the truth that the Holy Spirit has brought to us. We need to have that love for lost souls and the love for the gospel, the kingdom of, and the kingdom of God, to motivate us to reach out to those around about us and tell them about Jesus Christ. So how do we start? Well, maybe like the picture of this little boy, maybe we just need to get mad at ourselves and at the world and at the devil for the gospel not stretching out in the directions that it needs to go. But I believe that we need to pray. We need to prepare. We need to put it into practice. We need to open our wallets, just as these children have done today and this congregation does so often. And then we need to enjoy the journey. We'll talk about each one of these. The importance of prayer. Pray without ceasing. We need to be a praying people. Praying to God for strength and courage. Praying to God for our missionaries around the world. Praying for the outreach of this congregation in this community. Praying for the outreach of the church in Hawaii and in other places around the world. We need to be a praying people. I preached a series of lessons on prayer one time, and one of the things that I did in preparation for this, for about 2 weeks before I presented these lessons, I would set aside about 2 hours every day. Well, I'd go to my office and I'd close the door and I'd just spend it in prayer. Had a list made out of things I was going to pray for. Spend about 2 hours in prayer every day. You know, I think I got more done during that period of time than any other time. Because God is there for us. God is there to give us the strength, the ability to do what needs to be done. God has the power to open up doors of opportunity for us. But we've got to be a praying people and seek His guidance and seek His help. And then we need to be a prepared people. We need to prepare ourselves in such a way that when the doors do open and we have the opportunity to step into people's lives, then we are prepared to tell them the good news. We are prepared to tell them that Jesus Christ died for them. I studied with a young Hindu girl on the island of Aruba one time. She came up from South America. Her family was under persecution. And I began to study with Erica. And as we began to study and we talked about Jesus and we talked about what He had done, suddenly tears began to stream from her eyes. She said, "I've heard about Jesus before. I've heard about Jesus dying on the cross before." She said, "But nobody ever told me that He died for me." You see, we need to go and tell people that Jesus died for them. Died to set them free from their sins. So we need to study so that we can be able to answer their questions. Answer the questions that they might have concerning their relationship with God. And then we need to put it into practice. It's great to talk about it. It's great to see what other people have done. But when was the last time that you actually put it into practice? When was the last time you invited somebody to worship? When was the last time you went and taught someone about Jesus Christ? And there's so many different ways that we can do that. There was a lady down in Florence, Alabama, who was in the hospital. She became a Christian. She was introduced to the gospel while she was in the hospital. Someone went by, visited with her, talked to her about the church, left her a tract to read. She ended up obeying the gospel. And then she said, "What do I do now? How can I get involved?" So she developed what she called her 242 ministry. She was in 242 when she came to understand the truth about Christianity and the glory of the gospel that was available to her. So she set aside 15 to 20 minutes every day, and she would go to room 242. She said, "I can't go to every room. I can't visit the whole hospital." She said, "But I can go to room 242 every day for 15 or 20 minutes and give somebody a tract, invite them to worship, offer to pray with them." And so she started doing that. In a 2-year period of time, 23 people obeyed the gospel from room 242. You see, we can talk about doing things, but if we don't get involved, if we don't put it into practice, then it really doesn't do much good. So I want to encourage you to find your ministry. Find your work that you can do. Maybe it's visiting the sick. Maybe it's going to the hospital. Maybe it's going to the nursing home. I don't know what your ministry is. But you can find your ministry and get involved in doing the Lord's work. And then we need to give so that others can go, just as these children did this morning. What a beautiful sight that was. To see all the children coming up and putting their pennies and nickels and dimes and quarters and dollar bills in there. What a wonderful thing that is. Not everybody in here can physically go to a foreign field. We understand that. The elders understand that. But when there is a team that is going, when somebody from this congregation is going, go up to them and hand them $20. Give them $5. Whatever it is that you're able to do. But let them know that you're behind them and you encourage them to do the work that God wants you to do. You see, it takes all of us. Not everybody can do everything, but all of us can do something for the kingdom of God. And this is one of those minor things that we can do. Recently, the earthquake that took place over in Nepal, the children at the Sunlight Children's Home down in Haiti took up money. About $275 they gathered together and they sent to Nepal to help others. You see, we can all do something if we're willing to do it. And then I want to encourage you to enjoy the journey. What an exciting trip it is when we're able to go into God's Word, travel with them through the Scriptures and tell people what they need to do to be saved, and then see them obey the gospel. The picture on your screen is one of the trucks that we drive down when we're down in Haiti. And Brother Richard Taylor and I went to a place called Jacmel. When we went to Jacmel, we had to crisscross a river 15 times to get to where we were going. We finally got to this spot and we couldn't get up the hill. The truck just wouldn't climb. And all of a sudden, from out of nowhere, come about 70 or 75 Haitian people. Now, we're out in the bush. I mean, there's no villages around us, just people that live in mud huts and small houses. But these people came out and they gathered around that truck. They helped us load rocks in the back of it to give it a little bit more traction in the rear end. And then they pushed and they got us over that hill. What a wonderful day that was. To see people who were willing to come out and help others. Enjoy the journey. It's exciting to tell people about Jesus Christ. It's exciting to hear people or to see people obey the gospel and willing to do what God wants them to do. This young lady, this was a campaign that we had in Jamaica. We were in Linstead, Jamaica, which is the inner part of Jamaica. It's a farming community. And we went there last year for a campaign, and we knocked on doors, and we studied the Bible with people. And this young lady decided that she was ready to obey the gospel. She was ready to give her life to Jesus. And she obeyed the gospel. Now then, when we go and we talk to people in Jamaica, Haiti, Aruba, St. Croix, or some other part of the world, we take them the same message that you hear week after week right here in the United States and right here at the Henderson congregation. Salvation is in Christ Jesus. You see, we go to give people an opportunity. We can't force them. We don't want to over-persuade them. But we want to encourage people to be obedient to the will of God by giving them an opportunity through sharing the gospel. Perhaps you are here today and you've never obeyed the gospel. You've never given your life to Jesus Christ. You have an opportunity this morning to give your life to Him, to become a child of God. It's no different here than it is in Haiti or Jamaica or anywhere else in the world. The message is the same. So my question to you this morning is, have you obeyed the gospel? If not, why not? You have the opportunity this morning to become a Christian. Put on Christ as your Lord and Savior. Be immersed in that watery grave of baptism. Raised to walk in the newness of life. Or perhaps you're here today and you've obeyed the gospel. But somewhere along the way, you lost sight. You lost your focus. and you've drifted back in the world. You've allowed life to get in the way, and you haven't been serving God the way that you need to serve. We're here this morning to encourage you, to motivate you, to ask you to rededicate your life to God and to be the person that God wants you to be. And if we can help you in any way, we encourage you to come as together we stand and as we sing.